It is a converging time. So I did fly out here last night, and just a little bit of sort of backstage, because we're all backstage. I like thinking of this as town hall, backstage. Backstage is the green room. We remember why it's called the green room. It's from Greek theater. The green room was sacred to Dionysus, so every actor, regardless of their role, hero or villain, would pledge themselves to the beautiful flora and fauna of this earth before they went on stage. Isn't that great? So everything has meaning if we track it back, going, yeah. And I spent a lot of time in green rooms, and nobody knows why it's called the green room. And they go, usually it's beige, but we still call it the green room. So in a backstage moment, I'm drinking espresso from my kind hostess, because my coffee cup became contaminated with a kale smoothie. And so all the coffee tasted like kale. I go, kale, you've gone too far now. That's right. So that's why I'm doing that. And then just in praise of Venusian Libranness that not everybody would approve, when I got on the plane, as I got on, you know, the man said, only $240 to upgrade to first class. I'm like, no, that's too rich for me. But when I got to my little seat, window seat, the two guys next to me were very large and hulking, and one of them had this strong sniff. And I, in an ill-mannered way, I go, you sound like Trump on stage. And it was a little bit woof woof on a play, and no, did not want to play. And then I was like, wait a minute, am I not a Libran? Am I not a flibbity gibbet, squander money kind of person for pleasure? And I'm like, 240. Yeah. And then, you know, there was one other person in first class, and I'm like, man, the seats recline, the legs go up, and I'd only gotten 2 hours of sleep, and I'm like, I don't know if I can go back. I'll have to win a grant. It was like, oh, that was really, really great. Okay. So that's backstage to backstage. Well, why I wanted this to be, you know, more our gathering, like, it's in the spirit of, in World War II, the British government funded not only Bletchley Park for smart code breakers, but also they called the witches and wizards of England together to weave a spell of protection over England to protect it from the Nazi invasion. So, yeah, really. So, you know, the British are like that. They go, no, of course we don't believe in it, but we funded them. You know, not taking any chances. So in that context, let's think of ourselves as the witches and wizards, you know? And we remember whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're eliciting, we're drawing forth to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. So I know we're going to head into, we're going to decontention, contentiousness, but I go, you know, about Hillary, just stick a witch hat on her in your mind, you know, because there are people flooding in from all over the country, all over the world, going, please, you know, we know she's befoibled, we hate fracking, but, you know, really. So I like thinking of it on the way here. I was thinking of some of our great ally, David Grimes, who's many things, a poet and a river guide, and when he was taking some of us down the Copper River, he said, it's a class 2 river, but with class 5 consequences, right? Meaning it's a pretty smooth river, but if you fall in, you're dead because it's so cold and silty. And I think of the election like that. It's a class 2 election, but with class 5 consequences. And always, you know, the unifying story, you know, broadly for people like, I can't vote. I remember the Bedouins in Syria when it was beautiful, and also my really pretty splendid radio guest today, Ben Boyce, and he said, oh, we didn't get to the issue when people say I'm voting my conscience, you know, what does your conscience include? And the Syrian Bedouins, who were so informed about American politics, this was even 10 years ago, they were like, yes, of course, befoibled candidates, but you do what you can to slide through. And they said, you know, people who vote their conscience, how large and embracing is their conscience? You know? So we say, with Muti. Muti comes from the Sangomas of South Africa. It means power and medicine. True power is that which heals, and it's invited in. Cooperators are standing by, just awaiting for us to invite. And we say, oh, spirit of the compassionate trickster, within each one of us, open our path that we may be agents of spiraling, transcending polarity. You know, at this time of dire beauty, may we have the most serious fun possible. Okay, that's tobacco from Syria, still a little bit of it in coyote hair. And as I went out the door, Stella Coyote, my coyote companion, with whom I have lived for 18 and a half years. She's 18 and a half and still going strong. And she's like, yes, a little bit of cataracts in the eyes, a little hard of hearing, but still leaps on the stove and steals stuff. It's like, that's how we want to be when we're 140, according to dog years. So she said, yeah, just tell them to vote for Hillary. The coyotes are. And we go, all right. No. So we go, yes. So convening us now, at this time when it's simultaneously America and world psychotic breakdown or renaissance, take your pick, you know. So we are here to inaugurate a guiding story. But in keeping with, you know, town hall spirit, do feel free to, you know, put notes on the stage or speak out. I'll try and make room for that, for a blessing or something grumpitudinous that we can transform. That's all too. Because, you know, part of the dynamic and part of our skill set that we want to spiral out into the world, once was working with Neil Douglas Klotz and at Robert Bly's Great Mother Conference, and it was very diverse. There were people there in the Israeli army and Palestinian poets and you know, New York Jews for Peace and all kinds of things, and they wanted to convene to have a talk about the Middle East. And Neil said, I do this for a living in the Middle East. These people are not ready for that. I said, well, we got to do it, but we're going to have the frame of, for each thing that people bring up as a critique, they are then encouraged and responsible, a responsibility and an opportunity to provide a blessing. And the blessing does not have to be realistic. The blessing is an incarnational invitation. So people go, the American people are so foolish and stupid, and they go, and your blessing would be? And see, Americans are like, blessing? What the hell is that? You know, made people realize what dingbats they are. It's like, no, that's not quite a blessing. But what happened was, with a little encouragement, people kind of got into it. They could say, you know, may every time lies are spoken, may a circle of wolves envelop you as you watch TV and escort you back out into nature, or whatever, you know. And afterwards, Neil said that that was amazing, because he said there was no poison in the room, because everyone was responsible for conjuring the antidote to the poison they were bringing up.
Amen.
So in that spirit, you know, offering things, and we can help you come up with the blessing. If you're like, ah, and then it's like, I'm the blessing, and we can all kind of chime in with that. So everything is syncretic right now. Venus is in Sagittarius, and just I'll say things astrologically, but then translate them into useful English. May it be so. But there's a beautiful thing right now. Again, you know, there's so much generous opportunity being proffered to us humans. So Venus in Sagittarius, which is Jupiter's realm, Jupiter is in Libra, which is Venus's realm. So they're in what's called mutual reception. It's a beautiful phrase, technical, astronomical, astrological phrase. It means they're on really good behavior, unlike humans, right? They're on really good behavior. But it says the power of storytelling for each one of us in micro ways and macro ways is available for new stories to be invited in. You know, and so may we be agents of the new story. So always using sourdough starter, you know, so I'll repeat some things that many of you might have heard, but my criterion is, as long as I have enthusiasm for it, I'm going to repeat it, you know. So I love John Michael Greer, learned druid, saying, if you want people to get nothing done but hot conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, and you will only get hot. What two needs is three, which is, you know, the unifying story. You know, and that's why, you know, in a simple way, you know, what we could probably all agree about is at any point going, you know, come on in, whatever is truly best for everyone, come on in. We could all agree on that, right? No contention there. and inviting in Trickster. And I'm always, you know, reminded to aspire to follow what I put out and what I preach. And so in kerfuffle times, it's like, oh, and it's like, no, remember to invite in Trickster. Whoa. Something larger and wiser in nature than ourselves that is the agent of synchronicity. In fact, Trickster says, we are the molecules with which the big story speaks to itself through the agency of serendipity and synchronicity. So, you know, to come on in. And my example of that was, I was at a conference. This was some years ago, I guess, the 2008 election. And some astrologer with my same birthday had been talking to Fox News going, oh, the Republicans are going to win in a landslide. I'm like, no, with my birth chart, and there was a political panel at the end of the conference that I was not invited to, and we compost hermaphrodite, composting hermaphrodite, and this woman, Fox News, was showing up with its cameras and everything to record this woman saying that the Republicans were going to win in a landslide, and I was quite harumphy, sort of swimming laps, going, and then it's like, no, right, invite in trickster. And there were two people who were going to come speak on that, and both of them, it was antique times when people used watches, both of their watches stopped, and so they were late and didn't get on stage. I'm like, oh, thank you, trickster. The wonderful resolution. So in this election, calling it in, and just on small and large ways, how we weave not superstition, but dedicated ritual and blessing. So one thing I always like in my car, before I set forth, I put little pentagrams around it, not as a superstitious thing. It can go that way, going, oh, I forgot, oh my God. And then with the blessing, neither hit nor be hit, neither hit nor be hit by anything, to anything. Because I'm always saddened when I see roadkill, I have a little roadkill bell in my car going, oh, sorry about that, oh, sorry. And for squirrels that narrowly escape, I do the bell going, don't trust humans ever. Protection. So syncretism, Venus and Sagittarius, reminds us, saying, all of us who've journeyed, to get here tonight and into this wild time, think of everything we've ever studied, everything we've ever done, all the successes and failures, like in the beautiful Sufi story, all adversity and triumph, all equally important for granting us skills for the making of our ultimate happiness. So Venus in Sagittarius says, think of all the things we've studied, all the things we've done. We want to apply those things. So in keeping with that, I am wearing wolf t-shirt underneath beautiful Afghani embroidered coat from my friends, the Zamanis, who want to remind us, wherever there's war, there is incredible beauty. And so they're funding people who are still keeping this incredible beauty alive in Afghanistan. And the reason I like wearing the wolf underneath the Afghani Middle Eastern coat is one of my great radio guests a long time ago, Guneli Gun, Turkish author, said, in pre-Ottoman Empire Middle East, the predominant deity was she-wolf. And I go, really? Let's invite her back. And especially now, right? Right, pussy growls back. So I'm wearing she-wolf underneath the Afghani. So, everything, our whole lives are art, everything really in this dedicated way. So I also love that, wolves and coyotes are mating now with a little bit of dog DNA. And it's an evolutionary advantage under, stress that we as a species are putting on everybody. But I love that evolutionary advantage because wolves play every 30 minutes, even if they're hunted, even if they must hunt, they play every 30 minutes just to keep it going. But as a pack, they really have family values. It's quite Saturn structured. Everybody's got a job, so wolves pretty Saturn. Coyotes, quite Uranus, trickster. None of this pack stuff, none of this responsibility stuff. What do you mean, these strange words, garbage? We have no word for that. What do you mean, stealing? We have no word for that. And so coyotes pretty unique and feisty, but to have the harmonious blend as Saturn structure and Uranus are coming into trine, to be disciplined wild people, to be disciplined wild animals, is to have, all the support, within ourselves and as we gather, to have the support of the wolf pack that encourages the cultivation of our unique coyote, that perfect blend. So I love that. And so they were calling them coy wolves, but I'm like, no, that's not quite right. And somebody, I think it was on our Facebook page, said, wolfote. And I go, yes, the wolfote. Let the wolfote be our guide. So everything's speaking to us. We're inaugurating a guiding story, electing flora, fauna. I like, again, as we compost our hermaphrodite, a listener to the radio emailed me and said, I was all angry at the 1%. And then she said she realized, as a species, we're the 1%, right? So it's like everything, right? And we go, and that helped her to kind of cool out. So we do love that. So it is, new story time for each one of us to be agents of fresh telling of an old story. the stories are wafting around going, you know, who wants to tell me? And we're going, what story wants me to tell it? You know, and this call and response, even to the point, you know, it's like sometimes some things are always true, but there are times when they're truer. And so, you know, the backstage spirits are really eager to help us now in whatever way. So I love my friend Dory Midnight, who is a wonderful witch and has created this great tarot card set called Dirty Tarot. Not dirty like bad, but dirty like everything around us is magic. And so before I hosted Eve Ensler last week in a pretty rousing radio show, I don't know how many of you heard that. Yeah, it was pretty fun. So as I went out the door, I was like, let me just pick one of Dory's cards, you know, for this. And there was two cards. One was stuck to it. So the first card was basement, underground foundation, mysterious dark side of self or situation, collecting keeps emotional depth, rummaging through and exploring the past. Pretty great card. And sticking to it was pussy, right? And it's like, and I'd never drawn that card before. It's very charming. It's actually a woman's pussy. And I go, that's adorable. And her little write-up says, pussy, holy cavern of creation, a strong passage, dark reservoir of mystery, birth and rebirth, entrance and exit, deep red sex, fertility, creativity, making it happen. We go, that's our campaign coverage. Like, very wonderful. So to be agents of spiraling and liberation. So I've been talking a lot recently since my great ally, Richard Olson, turned me on to the TV series Braindead. Anybody watch Braindead? No, it's so California here. It's like, ew, I heard it was squishy. But it's brilliant. I just want to bring it into play, and I can't do it quite justice enough. It was so good that there is no season two. But it will sound like something you don't want to watch, which I paused for a couple of weeks going, I don't know, it's Washington, D.C. politics, and it's about space bugs from outer space, yeah, eating half of politicians' brains. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard.
Oh, you've heard me talk about it. I just want to bring it forward because it's so smart. It's again, great campaign coverage. And so at first it sounds quite ooky, and there are some ooky scenes in it for the squeamish, but nothing so ooky to compare with actual life. So it's like, oh, get over it. So the bugs are kind of taking over the world by taking over politicians' brains. And you can tell when somebody's been taken over for there's a number of clues. But one is they say, I'm just angry about everything. That's a clue. Yeah. Hashtag space bugs. You know, and they also say, I refuse to compromise my values. And it's like, space bugs. And we go, right. And then they take on everybody because we want to expend this. We don't want to contribute to tyranny, even in the micro ways in which we relate to ourselves and others. You know, is our manner of relating an offering serves Renaissance and liberation, or an imposition serves tyranny and colonialism, no matter what label we stick on our butt. How do we withdraw our complicity from colonialism and tyranny and exhale into, you know, wise, reverent Renaissance? So we all blow it. I mean, you know, I put these standards out, and the reason we make vows, you know, is that we can't even be the art form of who we want to be by ourselves. It's why we write things out or go, this is the kind of syncretized person I want to be, hold me to this. And so whenever I get kind of, you know, and I go, no, invite in the thing. Because the field is so strong now that whatever we tap into that frequency. So when we tap into polarity and anger, there's a lot there. So there was a couple days ago too. I was just I against my own, you know, dedication. I was full of anger as I drove around seeing Trump signs. I'm like, I want to paint swastikas on them. I want to. And it's like, no, easy. There we go. But it's very strong, right? It's like, ooh, tapped into, you know. And this metaphor of possession, I think, is really useful. Not to get all paranoid behind it. But when I left Cleveland, because I went to the Republican convention on your behalf, thank you.
Sorry.
I was at a very wealthy person's house in Utah at a great project, and And he said, and it was one of those things where you look around, you go, if I had money, I would do this. And then we also went to rich people's houses, in which I go, if I had money, I would not do this. But it was quite beautiful. And he goes, you went to Cleveland on my behalf? What could I possibly pay you? I'm like, I'll get back to you on that. Right? That's good. So, but when I, you know, in Cleveland, one of the, you know, because I went, you know, I like crossing borders. And when I went with Wolf Wolf Wanna Play, you know, on an individual level, I had a pretty good time talking to right-wingers. One, you know, pretty much in Republican land, they all went, love your hair, right? Because the hair is very Wolf Wolf Wanna Play, and the Republicans, and especially the Republican women, were kind of up for that. The Democrats, not really, right? It's kind of interesting. Well, again, we're dissolving all our certainties to cross borders and extend the invitation. And so talking to right-wingers on a one-on-one basis, it was pretty fun in a kind of challenging way. You know, right-wing Alabama delegate for Trump, you know, fundamentalist Baptist, who was a little too flirty, going, your hand has been there a little too long, there we go. But I played a game with him, Wolf Wolf Wanna Play. I said, I apologize because I don't have the exact quotes, but I go, I'm going to read you a couple of quotes, and you tell me if it's ISIS, meaning Daesh, or Trump. And he's like, okay, I'm game. And so I said, all right, we must, you know, join because the world is corrupt and we must make a new world and politics is a con, whatever. And he goes, that's Trump. And I go, that's Daesh. And he barked with laughter. He got, ha, got me. And then he got even flirtier. But again, the idea is that people really do want to be liberated. But if we're polar, we entrench the thing. You know, so I like, you know, aspiring to, we're moving our emotional default setting to Wolf Wolf Wanna Play. And if somebody doesn't want to play, we don't go, blah, 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 we just go, la, la, la. You know, and because if somebody doesn't want to play and we get grumpy, it wasn't really playful. It wasn't really an offering, it was an imposition. So that works very well. But when I stepped out, but en masse in the Republican convention, it was like Shirley Jackson's short story, The Lottery. Don't know how many of you know that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, well, many of us, Maven people, had to read that or got to read that in high school. And the brief thing, it's a classic story. But it's a very nice middle-class community. Everybody's very lovely. But the way they do that is once a year somebody gets a bad lottery draw and they're put in the middle of the stadium where everybody else hates them to death, right? Yeah, it's an intense story, but it's a useful thing to draw upon. Because, see, everything we ever studied from high school or whatever is all kind of useful. It's wafting around, you know, going. So it was like that. It was a hate fest in a mob way. And remember, mob mind is an atmosphere of possession in which people will do things that they normally won't do, torches and pitchforks. So right now we know that the worst in humans is being drawn forth, the violent. We're going to take Hillary out, says, you know, Trump supporters on camera. Surely you don't mean something violent. Yeah, I'm a patriot, sure, take her out, you know. It's like, the man in suits will be visiting you soon. But there's quite a lot of you. So this is not going to go away. So metabolizing poison, being agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world, you know, and you know, degree of difficulty gets ratcheted up as we go, did pretty well with that one. And the universe goes, try this. Try this goat-getting thing, and it's like, woohoo, you know, so to be agents of cool response, because to react to anything and to be taunted into reacting is hot, and it is imprisoning. It's to carry around a portable prison for ourselves and for others. To cultivate an ever-expanding repertoire of responses, see, is to be allied with nature's ingenuity. We go responses, because it's like we want first responders, not so much first reactors, right? First reactors are like, oh, that's horrible, I hate that. You know, it's like, that's not what we want when your house is burning down. Oh, your house is burning down. That's a first reactor. You know, a first responder is here, let's put the fire out. You know, so we want to be first responders, not first reactors. First reactors into the cauldron. Yay, thank you very much. Yeah, so all of our skills, you know, who brought what, you know, and that's what the spirit world and whatever metaphors we want, you know, is saying, you know, who brought what to this Renaissance? And all of us get to kind of rummage around and go, ooh, everything everyone needs, it's all unique. And we do want to cultivate our uniqueness. Uniqueness liberates everybody and encourages everybody to be unique. Specialness is a con, right? That is a kind of imprisoning celebrity thing. So this crucial category, especially this year, makes it really clear. There's the con man, or the con which imprisons, but it's the toxic mimic. It often looks glittery and good. And then there's the trick, which for our purposes, the trickster is intrinsically liberating. So it's a really useful thing to carry with us about our own behavior and our own language. And, you know, I make distinctions which are fun for me. You can customize your own, because it's about word definition. So, for instance, I find earnest, you know, impositional. Oh, nobody suffers more because I'm a sensitive Pisces than me about the world. I want you all to be dedicated. I find that impositional. Earnest versus dedicated, right? Because dedicated is a vibrational hum that invites that in others, and it does not impose the thing. It's like my great friend, I'm reunited with a wonderful Jungian analyst, Barbara, who I remember so many of her great phrases, because we're carrying these things around, right? And they're like, you know, we need them all. They're kind of alive and hopping up and down in our magic backpacks. So years ago, she had said, you know, when people flatter you, they're paying you for what they're about to take. And it's like, ooh, that's really fun. You see, it's not as fun for you as it is for me. Flattery is a con. Praise is a liberating trick. We can feel the difference if we cultivate our own wise intuition. You know, because our inner animal, our inner coyote, our inner wolf, you know, goes flattery, no. You know, praise, so that's useful. And when we think about it in this election, you know, Trump is flattering or inflating or riling up because he's paying his followers for what he's about to take. You know, so it's a useful thing to play with. You know, and again, what is liberating is liberating. You know, what's impositional and a con. So, you know, in our manner of relating, in our language, all of these things, and then in our, you know, powerful time, really like tonight, you know, to make the inward dedication of the art form we want to be. You know, and Jupiter in Libra says, I will make all of you wealthy by your definition of wealth. You know, what do we want to feel like? What do we want to feel like to others, right? And Jupiter says, you write it, we'll book it. So it's useful to clarify, like, well, what do we want to feel like? And what do we want to feel like to others? And Jupiter, you know, is big and jolly, but it takes it all the way out. You know, Jupiter also says, and what do you want to feel like to the world even after you're dead? You know, it's like, these are big, useful things to consider, consider the stars. You know, the opposite of disaster, dis is against, aster is the stars. We avert disaster and catastrophe, same thing, cat is against, aster of stars. We avert disaster and catastrophe by gathering to consider. Because we don't need to believe in astrology, but when we gather to consider, like now, we're lining up, you know. And inward dedication magnetizes outward opportunity. So, you know, so it's useful, you know, because I have these different councils, trickster training council, and some people go, can you train tricksters? I'm like, you can't train them not to steal porridge off the stove, but we do want to practice these things backstage, so when we're in a hot circumstance, we have a repertoire of fun ways of being. We want to see how we want to be before it gets hot. And it's part of our responsibility and opportunity to spiral expanded repertoire of responses into the memosphere. Because there are people, you know, who are under hot circumstance. You know, we who are here tonight, you know, have not seen someone or something we love killed before us, which, you know, so for all those people, when those of us who are safe now, it's the opportunity, responsibility. You know, it's like Dion Fortune says, the essence of ritual magic is to spiral into group human mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance. Yeah, and Stephen Halpern is here too, maker of beautiful music. And I said, I hope you're playing your music while you watch the debates. He's like, I am. We all want a soundtrack. And I encourage my different councils. I mean, many people are like, I don't watch that. And it's like, that's fine, but still Spiral. And for those of you who do, you know, we have the sage going and the, you know, things going and the thing. And, you know, and sometimes we can't, like last night, really influence things because I was like, oh, foo, I thought it would be. I don't know what I thought it would be, but it was like, you know, it was cheese-sucking, you know, and we all get defeated by reality. I said to my wonderful host, Sylvia, who's next generation of Libra and astrologer, really on this thing, you know, and afterwards I go, oh, cheese-sucking, I feel like I have no thoughts at all, I have nothing to say, I'm going to bed. And it's like, wow, it won. You know, the conniption fit inducing banality, and it's like, no earth, no mention of the climate. No, it's like, all right, it comes to us. What?
There was an
aside.
Brief mention,
yeah. Hillary said, well, of course, the climate, you know, we're all going to die, but we're going to deal with this thing, okay? All right, moving right on. Right, it was brief. And again, you know, many levels of everyone. I love a wonderful herbalist had come to visit me and brought sort of young wizard apprentice who was really great. We had a great time. And he said, I had this really powerful dream last night. And he said, I should preface it by, I don't like Hillary, like at all, as a personality. You know, Bernie, and we go, yeah, Bernie, okay. He said, but in this dream, you know, I was sitting next to her and I really liked her. And as we were sitting, this incredibly beautiful, luminescent river kind of opened up and washed around us, and we both gloried in the beauty of nature. And he said, I just wanted you to know that because it was so quirky. Remember that when people go, I'm so disappointed in Obama, remember, disappointed means this is underworld. This means underworld. When we say, I'm disappointed, it means I am powerless in the underworld. We go, come on, team, no sense bespelling ourselves. Just pick some other word. I'm bamboozled, I'm kerfuffled. But we also go, we don't want to be bamboozled by our desire to not be bamboozled, right? There's layers of sneakiness going on. So when you know, disappointed in Obama, and we go, well, what are we speaking to in him? You know, this mythological responsiveness. So I was at a anti-XL pipeline, and I was like, and what are we for? You know, no pipeline, yes to what? You know, and people will catch on in the street going, yes to green economy, not just no. These women came up, and they were running a nonprofit for girls' education in Africa, and they said, people don't know this, but Obama, you know, got a lot of grief for getting the Nobel Peace Prize, but he gave all of that money to us. She said, there were three of them there, and they said, we all, that night, he visited each one of us in our dreams. We go, many levels, you know. And whenever I've gone to the White House in a protest, well, I want to change the word protest, because what it means, it's why women can't testify. Do you know why?
No.
Yes, right. Women can't testify because it comes from testes. Right, well, it does. It's Leviticus. It's Leviticus chapter 2. It means grab your balls and swear by all that's holy by them. You know, and so protest also means I'm in favor by grabbing my balls. And it means to affirm something. You know, and so again, you know, it's because it used to be protest against, and even the word protest is problematic, but it was we protest against the war, which is still a kind of U-turn that loses energy. I protest against the war, you know. And it just began being protest the war, which is like, okay, you know, I don't want to, you know, finger wag about finger wagging and all that, because I go, you know, Bill McKibben is so effective, but his metaphors are primarily fight, you know, and he's gotten grumpy at me, because I go, you know, is there no other word? We're not going to fight, you know, climate change. We're going to engage the ingenuity of humans to humbly cooperate with nature. I know it's long, you know, but can we expand, you know, again, Jornus Trickster says, we don't care what you guys or Gaias do, we care that you do it from freedom and choice. So we can use the word fight, but it wants to come from many, many, many options. You know, I could say this, or I could say that, or I could say this, and I choose to use the word fight with full knowledge that because our brains are metaphoric, that when we use the word fight, our brain cascades, you know, hot adrenaline, just, you know, even fight for justice. we're already in a polarity kind of a thing, so we just kind of waft that out, you know. And it's true, in people in public discourse, they can't quite say, I'm going to dance for peace, but we could imagine it. We could imagine, you know, expandedness. And I do love, you know, so many of the Sabian symbols, images for each degree of the zodiac. And it's kind of wonderfully perfect that tonight as we gather, the sun's image at 28 plus Libra is men toiling in a dark pit, a woman calmly lowers a rope. And it's like, which is very charming. It's like, oh, yoo-hoo, oh, boys. Nah, 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 nah. Here's a rope. I got stuff to do. I'll just tie it to a tree. But you can climb out if you want. You know, it goes wonderfully with the Hafez. You know, the small man builds prisons for everyone he meets, but the wise woman ducks under the moon and tosses keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners. And so, you know, even in the sense of when I stepped out of Cleveland, you know, and there was the mob mind and the possession and the thing, I did, as I sort of cleansed under the sky, going, hello, help, oh, there's a... And I did have, like, poignancy. I was like, our only hope is Bernie. Oh, God. Okay, you know, but that's not what we've been assigned. You know, it's a more challenging thing. It's a more nuanced strategy. And I did feel like Trump is possessed by a demonic, cunning retrovirus. Bless his heart. And so I like maybe on November 8th, kind of like, who's the star of Aliens again? Oh, Sigourney Weaver. I like that on November 8th, actually, he goes, oh, and a monster comes out! And he goes, and Trump goes, oh, free at last, now I'm just a dingbat. But possession, I think, is useful. You have a question, sir?
No, I could say something positive about Trump.
Okay.
No,
it's good, it's good, it's good. Really, never mind my personality.
I know many people who are like him, who are intelligent, and so they manipulate, and they work people against each other stealthily. So the fact that he does it as completely obviously as he does is a gift to all of us, because we see he's showing us what goes on underneath. People are controlling this world with a lot of intelligence and manipulation, much greater social skill set than he has. He's showing us what's underneath that. I think that that is wonderful.
I think that is a true and good way to go. It's kind of how Eve Ensler and I went last week, because she was very upbeat, going, yeah, it's fantastic, it's all being dredged to the surface. And like my friend Patricia Ewing, who's part of our, well, both Monday and Wednesday councils, and on the Monday council, you know, it was after the second debate, and I also got on going, oh, cheese sucking, I feel poisoned, blah, blah, blah. And she got on the line and was like, I'm having a blast. And I go, wow, you know, and she's worked in politics. She's a deeply spiritual person who's worked in politics. And she explained, she goes, you know, politicians are designed to be disappointing so that we don't outsource our autonomy. And she said, exactly that. It's dredging up everything that's every ugly kind of mob mind creepy thing. But that's why gathering in this way is important, so that we can dissipate it and liberate everybody from possession. You know, the cops, you know, the incredible, you know, poignant and tragic violence perpetrated by cops on unarmed black guys, and the black man who was an autistic, who was taking care of his autistic ward in Florida, who was on the thing, yeah. You know, and the cop shot him, and he said, why did you shoot me? And the cop said, I don't know. The cop said, I don't know. And we go, possession. The cop should be charged with possession, not of a substance, but being possessed, right? Of an atmosphere that allows for that hot reactivity when we enter into something and then we are possessed by it. So we want to, you know, enlarge into the memosphere, you know, a broader repertoire of responses. No matter how fantastic, it's time for us to, you know, to think and waft and spiral into the memosphere fantastic things, like a complete redesigning of police. you know, going, police are here to be anti-inflammatory. I want police equipped with ginger and turmeric tea and, you know, and the pocketbook of The Art of Peace and Rumi. Going, sir, sir, I noticed you're here. Have a cup of tea and let me read you a poem. You know, to be agents of cool response. They've misunderstood. We haven't given them a story. Everything, everyone wants a story. You know, and you know, our animal companions, you know, when I leave the house, I go, you have a very important role. I couldn't do what I do in the world without you. You know, you're important temple coyote. I tell people about your teachings, and they're like, oh, good. You know, and when I meet dogs on the street, I go, you are doing such a good job of being a dog. I say, yeah, I'm a, you know, and we want to be dog whisperers. You know, you are doing such a good job of being a dingbat. You know, a dingbat possessed. You know, so Pat was... You know, going, I'm having a blast, you know, and our ally, you know, texted me at the time going, I'll have what she's having. We go, yes, we get to share medicine, you know, and see things that we admire. Admire means, you know, to look toward, journey towards what we're looking at. I admire that, you know, and there's a beautiful thing that I learned in Utah as well. Let's see, where is something beautiful? Well, this, you know, everybody think of a beautiful work of art or a beautiful work of art.
Right behind you.
Well, that's good. All right. So this woman, Eliza, taught me this thing that she'd seen an indigenous friend of hers do, which is go up to a piece of art and kind of move hand over like this, going, ah, and then pull hand in, and then go, yechu. And I said, what does yechu mean? She goes, nobody knows. but it sounds good. And she asked the man, you know, what are you doing? Are you, you know, whatever? He says, well, whenever I see something beautiful, you know, I admire it. I want to be more like the person who created that. So I pull it in, go, yechu. It's really, really lovely. You know, again, so many ways of receiving nutrient. You know, and, you know, Jung wrote to a friend of his who was lonely and desperate and said, if I were lonely, I would grab relatedness and libido from the tail wag of a dog, from a beautiful cloud passing over. You know, just from wherever, going, you know, thank you, reciprocal blessing. May it go well for you and for you. May it go well for you, cloud. You know, may it go well for you, dog. May it go well for you, right-wing dingbat. You know, and part of, you know, my journeys in crossing borders is, you know, I've been on TV, not recently, but with Pat Buchanan a bunch of times, who is a right-wing toxic person, right? It's said about him, if he weren't Irish, he'd hate them too. But because I would approach him with manners, right, and I'm a Casey and he's an Irish person, you know, what I realized early on was the really educated conservatives, even if toxic, they're so confident that they're willing to engage in playful conversation. Liberals who are not sort of spiritual, you know, are not, because they're so worried about looking silly to their Harvard classmates that they can't, like, oh, astrology, who's going to win the basketball game, whatever. But the conservatives are like, tell me more, you know? And it's a quirky thing. It's like, for me, you know, in some weird way, I had a lot more fun in Cleveland than in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, the story police was so much tighter, not only with my own radio team, like, which was much more fun in Cleveland, but also, you know, the story police. And no Democratic person said, love your hair. They're like, you know, and so we go, we compost our prejudice, right? Prejudice means prejudging, you know, to have an opinion that is, and therefore makes us tyrannical, to have prejudice to impose on someone a prejudgment, rather than woof, woof, want to play, and then, you know, willing to be surprised, willing to change opinions. And so this great opportunity right now where the Republican Party is going down, and even, you know, my guest Ben Boyce and my, we said our favorite Republican is oh God, what's his name? Mike, oh, just, anyway, it escaped my mind. Commentator on, but on MSNBC. But he's, Mike
Schmidt.
Steve Schmidt. Is it Steve Schmidt? God, yes.
Bald?
Yeah, bald.
Yeah, he's great.
Right, he is really great because, again, the changing of mind. The changing of mind is a huge opportunity right now. There are more conversings, more converse, you know, with, verse, turning. We're all in a giant turning together conversation. Yeah, so Steve Schmidt is really pretty great, and he's begun to speak in kind of, shamanic underworld I Ching language. You know, my favorite I Ching is by Stephen Karcher because he took it way back to its kind of roiling imagery. You know, that I Ching speaks about the underworld ghost river. And Steve Schmidt was kind of talking that way, going, Trump is going to take all those people down, all the, you know, most of the Republican Party into the underworld ghost river, and they're all going to be eaten by demons, you know. Anyway, so the news, especially the former right-wingers, are getting quite colorful and liberated and giddy. The Hillary pro or con, more tight, and then we use the magic phrase, until now. You know, here's a rope, here's a key, there we go. You know, but again, we tap into that force field, you know, whatever we're tapping into. And it was my wonderful friend, Sylvia, that I was talking with some weeks past. And, you know, she began to talk about, you know, Hillary's embrace of American exceptionalism, which is this stupid third grade recess thing. Like, we're better than everybody, you know. And it is completely silly. We want to throw it into the cauldron. But she began to go on a kind of end, Hillary, and I go, that's true, but I want to animate some different stories. And she got kind of grumpy with me, one of her best friends, like that. And I go, see, you tapped into the vitriolic vehement channel. And, you know, and she was like, ooh, you got me. And laughed, right? Again, laughed. We love it when we can say the truth and in a liberating, intentional way, right? Because then everybody, remember the trickster redeemer in all of us and in folktales is interested in liberating women, the land, you know, even the tyrant, you know, even those moments when we become the tyrant. And that's when Sylvia, because great things happen from that. And she goes, oh, got me, right? Because people very pro-Hillary, people very against Hillary, you know, it's space bugs. It's like, vitriol, vehement vitriol. And we go, ooh, not a good fuel to run on. Very, the equivalent, the emotional equivalent of tar sands, really, like, and that's when my friend Sylvia came up with this great thing, because she grew up in Hollywood. It's her birthday today. She's 84. Yay, hello. Wonderful and very smart and fabulous. And she said, because she grew up in Hollywood, she said, oh, well, then we want to conjure the screenwriter's hut, right? And that's what we've been doing in our councils, too, which is the screenwriter's hut, right? Because remember, in the 1930s in Hollywood, you know, everybody's smart. I mean, Aldous Huxley and all these cool people, you know, were all going to Hollywood because even before then, the 20s, when the talkies came in, they wanted really smart, fun people. So they would all gather in the screenwriter's hut on the studio lot, you know, and wear fedoras and smoke cigarettes and conjure stories. And I go, what a great thing to conjure. We're all in the screenwriter's hut conjuring desirable stories to waft into the memosphere for our own personal lives, but also in the collective. May it be that whoosh. I love its kind of, Terry Pratchett says, you know, this little circle of firelight we call the physical world. You know, we're gathered in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world, surrounded by vast, dark mystery, full of demons and spirits and ancestors. And it's like, it's such a great image. And so we take the little circle of firelight, the original kind of storytelling around the fire, you know, that's the originating beautiful image, and then into the screenwriter's hut. And so I'm engaging with different teams and with us now to conjure the screenwriter's hut surrounded by vast darkness in which we can invite, you know, anything or anyone who's ever been dedicated to what we're dedicated to, you know, in the realm of music or art or writing or political influence or whatever, you know, from the vast darkness. Because the protoplasm of reality is very present. You know, whatever we think of, we're conjuring it. Whatever we speak, we're inviting it, you know. And it's not to kind of tiptoe around like timid Theosophists, like, oh, I had a bad thought. It's the predominant habitual direction. You know, it's the habit. You know, I remember Mario Martinez studying centenarians, people who lived in a kick-butt way, you know, sharp of mind and body into their hundreds. And he would ask them, you know, what's your secret, you know? And one would say, I always have a shot of whiskey before bed, or I always smoke a cigar at this time. And he goes, so it's not the thing, it's the ritual. Ritual keeps us alive. Different than habit, right? Ritual is the liberating trick, habit is the con. And we go, well, may all of our, you know, whatever we smoke or eat or drink or think or feel or say, may it be a ritual rather than a habit, you know, may it be something that guides us into greater intimacy rather than alienation, you know. And that's another just criterion that's fun to kind of take with us for ourselves. We all have our tyrannometer in our magic backpacks that are invisible under your chairs. But it's, you know, manner of relating offering, or imposition, you know, for ourselves, going, whoop, whoop, overstepped there, whoop. Or, you know, or for others, like, okay. And you know, in fairy tales, where we all are right now, everybody blows it. There's no shame or blame with blowing it. It's the, you know, Percival gets booted out of the castle because he forgets to ask the question that could save the world, you know, people throw shoes at him. Everybody blows it. It's a question of, like, you know, it's like Robert Bly says, you know, you can get eaten by the witch, you know, several times a day, but if it goes on for years, you'll get pretty thin, right? So we all blow it in the fairy tale, but then we use that as a kind of, like, oh, that didn't go well. Back to the screenwriter's hut. You know, I used to have a section in my mind that I would sometimes say on the radio called What I Wish I'd Said Last Week. you know, and we're allowed to do that, and then to spiral it forth, going, oh, I wish I'd said that. Well, let me say it now. You know, and see, it's not boring. It's meant to be spicy and fully informed. Like somebody, again, a wonderful Robin Rose on our Monday call, had, you know, we were bringing up, like, how can we possibly squint so that we could vote for Hillary? But it's not in an ignoring way. She said, you know, I'm deeply troubled by Hillary's policy on fracking. I go, good, let's bring this up. Because she did go around the world strong-arming governments to embrace or, you know, be tyrannized into fracking. And so Robin, who's very practical and spiritual, they go together, said, let's invite the earth to speak to Hillary's grandmother soul. Go, good idea. You know, we go against all odds. You know, here we go. Again, whatever we speak to in another, you know, may it come on in.